Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
An Erio's original.
Hello, and welcome to Web Crawlers, the podcast where we do a deep dive into some of our favorite unsolved mysteries. Each week, we will introduce our topic, lay out our research and findings, reveal some conspiracy theories, and conclude with our own hypothesis. Who knows, we might even solve the case. I am Allie Siegel.
I am Melissa Stettin.
And I, producer Maria.
Web Crawlers has a Patreon to get access to rewards, bonus episodes, shout outs, video versions of all of our podcast episodes. Please go to patreon.com/webcrawlers. You can donate as little as $2 a month to become one of our bimbo patrons. Please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. If you give us a 5-star review, we will read it on our mailbag episode. If you're not from America, if you are reviewing on some sort of foreign app, or it's not even a foreign app, right?
It's like Apple.
Apple, yeah, some weird foreign thing. We can't automatically see them. So send those too, so we can read them.
Yeah, screenshot them.
And call our hotline, please. Insert jingle here.
626-604-6262.
Melissa, who are our patrons for the day?
We've got Brian F., Monica F., Gabby Dunn,
whoop, whoop.
Sarah S., and Katie C. Welcome.
Thank you, guys. Welcome to the team and fan favorite Gabby Dunn.
So today's episode was actually suggested by...
Oh, God. Dantana?
Producer Maria.
Oh.
It was?
Yes, Maria.
I didn't know. What is it? I'm so excited.
Today we're going to talk about the disappearance of... Dorothy Arnold.
And you know where I found this, Melissa. You
where?
Know how I love newspapers.com.
Yes, and you got retweeted by newspapers.com the other day.
That's my life.
That's huge. That's
2021, huge. Baby. That's what it's all about. It's all about getting retweeted by the big guns. And newspapers.com, they heard my call and they shouted it to the mountains. But I was on some like 1920s newspaper from LA Times article, and they were talking about how all these women had started disappearing, and they said, and this is the biggest disappearance. And so then I sent it to you guys.
I had never heard of this, and it was a huge deal at the time.
Wow. Well, I'm excited to be illuminated.
I'm excited.
Huge deal.
I'm excited too.
So Dorothy Arnold was a beautiful and wealthy socialite living on the Upper East Side of New York City with her family.
Ooh, lots of
And on dis- Ooh, fancy. On December 12th, 1910, while shopping in Madison Square Park, she vanished in broad daylight.
Whoa.
And the circumstances surrounding her disappearance are odd, including the suspicious behavior of her family and her secret relationship with an older man.
Uh-oh.
This mystery has captivated New Yorkers for decades. How does a woman simply vanish amid a crowd in New York City? What really happened on December 12th, 1910?
Alien abduction.
Add that to the theories. Let's get into it. So Dorothy Harriet Camille Arnold was born July 1st, 1886. It's crazy that people were born in the 1800s. Like, what?
I know, but think about people who were born in the 1700s.
Think about people who are born in 2000 and who can, like, drink now.
Yeah.
That's disgusting. Okay, so Dorothy was born July 1st, 1886 in New York, New York to Mary Parks Arnold and Frances Rose. Her dad was a Harvard graduate who owned a perfume and cologne company. They were like super rich. They were listed in this thing called the Social Register. Have you heard of this? It's like an annual publication for rich people.
No.
That started in the 1800s. Cool. It's like aristocrats and like socialites and famous rich. Like people used to invite people to their weddings by going through this Social Register.
Whoa, it's like, that's crazy. These,
like, hoity-toity rich people. Dorothy was their eldest daughter. She attended Bryn Mawr for college, where she got a degree in literature because she really wanted to become a writer. And after college, she moved back with her parents at their house at 108 East 79th Street, which is right across, so right near Central Park. But her parents were not stoked about her wanting to be a writer.
Huh.
They're like, women should be wives. They shouldn't have jobs. So in 1910, she submitted a short story to McClure's Magazine, which back then it was kind of like, I guess like the New Yorker-ish, but she got rejected.
Oh, shit.
And she was like super bummed about it, which is like crazy because it was like her first submission.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, I got rejected.
I got this. Yeah.
She seems spoiled. She seems spoiled.
I know, right? Because she was grew up rich. Was she thinking like, oh, well, I'm going to submit to this and I'm going to get accepted because my dad is so and so.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. You had to be more of a Joe than a... Who's the who's
Claire Amy? Names? Beth.
Be more of a Joe than a Beth.
You mean Florence Pugh?
Oh, Florence Pugh Amy, the one. Okay, yeah. So apparently her family and friends made fun of her for getting rejected.
That's funny. God, was she sisters with Allie?
Yeah. They were like roasting her, like, ah, you suck.
She thinks like Allie would do, like, God, what a loser.
Yeah. I was going to make the exact same joke except about Maria. And Maria got to it first.
So she set up a P.O. box to be able to correspond with publishers, so without her whack-ass family finding out and like roasting
her. This woman probably committed suicide. It seems like her friends and family were so mean.
Well, that's a theory because of this.
I got it. I'm channeling your energy.
Episode over. So Dorothy asked her dad if she could get an apartment in Greenwich Village so she could concentrate on writing, but he was like, no. And he said something along the lines of, because a good writer can write anywhere.
Well, that's true.
I am.
Honestly, this sounds like very current. This whole situation is like, yeah, some like.
It does.
I think this happened to me and my dad. And that's why I got a house in Atwater Village.
Allie, is this your life?
Dad, I need to podcast from my own place. I can't keep doing it from bed.
It just seems like she wanted to stay rich, but she wanted to also be an artist or a writer.
And I it's like, be a writer.
Yeah. Daddy, yeah. Daddy, give me a Greenwich Village apartment.
Yeah.
I like her.
After a few months after her first rejection, she submitted another story to McClure's, but she got rejected again. Oh. So she was like super bummed, and she actually told her family about this rejection, and again they like made fun of her. They're like, what are you doing? Why are you submitting?
This poor woman.
Yeah,
well, maybe she sucked at writing. Have you ever thought about that?
Well, or she was just a woman Like back in 1910, women like
writers made it. I mean, I'm not saying like, you know.
Yeah. It was probably both.
That would be funny if we finally found her writing and it was like milk, milk, lemonade around the corner. Fudge is made. Please take this under consideration from Dorothy.
Are you from Tennessee? Because you're the only 10 I see.
Oh, God. It was Allie.
And McClure's is like, Dorothy again. Sorry, I know you said the same thing.
So the day she went missing, December 12th, 1910, Dorothy told her mother she was going to go shopping to pick out a dress for her younger sister Marjorie's debutante ball,
oui.
AKA her coming out party, which is like crazy back then. Girls who like became women had these parties to like showcase them for
they
prospective
still do
husbands.
It.
Yeah, I knew girls who did it. They do it in the Palisades.
Yeah, they do it in the Palisades too. They have like cotillion and they still do it. Yeah.
There's debutante balls. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was not invited.
That's how you say.
I did not invite you.
I was invited. But my brothers both did like cotillion, which is really? I think like the male version. Yeah, they had to go
My parents did not put us in any, like, everyone at Palisades was doing cotillion, and they had, like, debutante balls.
Oh, really?
Even Girl Scouts or Brownies, our parents were like, sit your ass down, and you do not go to these things.
Well, they didn't do it for me. They did it for my brothers, and then for me, they were like, Allie, there's no shot. You're not doing Indian princesses. You're not doing debutante. You're not doing cotillion. You're never going to eat with the right fork. Like, you just stay home.
They thought you were like Mulan. You'd bring dishonor to them all.
Jeez.
Yeah,
I mean, they still do this all over the place. It's crazy.
So funny.
So Dorothy walked from her home on 79th Street to the Park and Tilford store, which is on 27th and 5th Avenue. Kind of a far walk, but like I've walked that far in New York, you know. It's not crazy to walk 50 blocks.
Yeah. But she probably had uncomfortable shoes on, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, God.
Like those 1880s heels
cobbled
or whatever,
shoes.
1900s. Yeah.
She went to the store where she bought a box of chocolates, but charged it to her family's account.
Mm-hmm.
Because Dorothy was given a monthly allowance of $100, which with inflation, that's about $2,300.
Wow.
Plus her family had all these accounts all over the city where she could charge things.
And she didn't have to pay rent or anything.
No.
She was living at home.
Yeah.
Sick.
I know. So she then went to Brentano's bookstore where she bought a book.
Isn't Brentano's like still a bookstore? Wasn't that still a...
It was an episode of Seinfeld. I think it's still a thing.
Yeah, I think it's still
There's
a thing.
There's one too. In Paris too.
Ooh la la.
Oui, oui.
So she bought a book called Engaged Girl Sketches.
It's part of Borders. It's part of Borders books and it's part of the Walden books. Umbrella.
So she went to Borders back in 1910 to grab a coffee. A book called Engaged Girl Sketches by Emily Kelvin Blake.
What is that book about?
It was like kind of a popular book at the time. This work's been selected by scholars as being culturally important. Essays and stuff? So then she left the bookstore around 2 p.m. and she ran into a friend, Gladys King. Gladys said that Dorothy seemed totally fine. She was in a good mood. And Dorothy told Gladys that she was going to take a walk through Central Park on her way home.
You know what this is reminding me of, you guys?
What?
Gone Girl.
Elisa Lam. Went to a bookstore.
The bookstore.
Everything's fine. She's totally cool. Bang.
Well, also, Gone Girl happened in a bookstore, too. Remember, her parents wrote those books about her?
Yes.
So I wasn't totally off base with Gone Girl.
So yeah, that was the last time anyone saw Dorothy.
I will not bring dishonor upon my family.
So that night, when Dorothy never came home, her parents became very concerned and started calling her friends asking if anyone had seen her, and no one had seen her. And so a few hours later, a woman named Elsie Henry called the Arnolds' home to see if there was any update, if anyone had found Dorothy. And Dorothy's mom told Elsie that Dorothy had come home, but she couldn't talk because she was in bed with a headache. But the weird thing is, Dorothy wasn't home. She was still missing. So, like, was her mom trying to hide the fact that she was missing? Or was her mom trying to, like, not draw attention to it? Was she trying to, like, I don't know what her thinking was. It was strange. So the next morning, When Dorothy still hadn't shown up, her dad contacted family friend and lawyer John Keith. They didn't call the police. They called a lawyer.
Hmm.
And so John came over to see if he could find anything that would help find Dorothy. He didn't notice anything suspicious or anything missing other than some burnt papers in the fireplace, which they believe were rejection letters from publishers.
Oh, no.
And brochures of steamliners to Europe. So perhaps to run away?
Yeah.
Right.
But also, she didn't pack anything. So they were like, well, I don't, maybe she ran away, maybe she didn't, but there was nothing missing.
Well, she has that stipend. She can just buy shit. She doesn't really need to pack anything.
That's true. So Dorothy had a boyfriend named George Griscom Jr., who her parents did not like because he was older. He was 42. He was an engineer, and he also came from a rich family. And they met while Dorothy was at college. But apparently George didn't have a job, and he was just like living at home with his parents, living off of their money.
At 42?
Yeah. Because his family was like rich. He was like, he was kind of lazy. He's like, I don't need to work.
Yeah.
But Dorothy's father said this: I would have been glad to see her associate with more young men than she did, especially some young men of brains and position, one whose profession or business would keep him occupied. I don't approve of young men who have nothing to do.
Mm.
So those were her dad's thoughts on George. So in September, 3 months before Dorothy went missing, she actually lied about visiting a college friend and instead went to Boston to see George. And her parents found out about it and forbid her from seeing George again. So, not surprisingly, her parents thought that George had something to do with the disappearance. But George had somewhat of an alibi because he was in Italy at the time. And so, a week after Dorothy went missing, her parents sent a telegraph to George in Italy asking if he knew what happened. But he wrote back, he said he had no idea. But the Arnolds weren't buying it. So Dorothy's mom, Mary, and Dorothy's brother, John, traveled to Italy in January to talk to George.
God, that's such a long...
I know, they take a boat there.
Takes
them a week. And so they met George in a hotel room in Florence. And again, George denied knowing anything about her disappearance. And apparently, Dorothy's brother, John, punched him in the face.
Sick.
And was like, I don't believe you. but then back in New York, the family lawyer, John Keith, he was searching all the morgues, the hospitals, and ship ports for Dorothy, and he ended up calling the Pinkerton Detective Agency to help him with the search.
Okay.
So again, they didn't call the police. They had this lawyer call this well-known detective agency.
Strange.
And some people say it's because of their social standing and wealth.
Yeah.
That the dad wanted to avoid this whole public scandal. They're like, let's just try to figure it out ourselves before like it gets crazy.
What did the family do again? Why were they wealthy?
The dad owned a perfume and cologne company. So this Pinkerton detective agency searched for 6 weeks with no luck. And so they told the dad, they're like, you got to call the police because this is crazy. So finally, in January, Francis called the police, and they told Francis that he needs to have a press conference.
Like in Gone Girl.
Yeah, like in Gone Girl. So the family offered a $1,000 reward for the return of Dorothy, which now is like, I think like $25,000.
Wow.
And Dorothy's disappearance ended up being in every newspaper across America. And the police got thousands of tips and sightings, but they all led to nothing. Like everyone across America is like, I've seen her. The family received 2 ransom notes asking for $5,000 for the return of Dorothy, but they were kind of expecting to get this, being she was rich and she was missing. That's why they didn't want to go to the police, because they knew it would be like, and these ransom notes turned out to be like hoaxes, like they weren't real.
Huh.
So it was like, yeah, they're kind of expecting that to happen with like a missing rich daughter. And so Dorothy, she was never found.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments.
Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So some theories about what happened to her. An abortion is a theory that some people think she died from an illegal abortion.
Oh, shit.
Because in 1914... which was 3-4 years after she went missing, Dr. C.C. Meredith, Nurse Lucy Orr, and Dr. Lutz of Pittsburgh, where George and his family live, were arrested for running an illegal abortion clinic. So one of the doctor's patients said she had seen Dorothy at this abortion clinic in December, but it came out that this patient who claimed she saw it was actually an abortion doctor, Dr. Meredith, like left a tip for someone that was like, I saw Dorothy. So the thing is, Dorothy did see George 3 months before she disappeared in Boston.
So she could have been she could have been 3 months pregnant.
However, there is some evidence that disproves this possibility, because on November 23rd, Dorothy spent Thanksgiving with her friend Theodosia Bates in Washington, D.C. And the next day, Dorothy complained that she wasn't feeling well. And she told Theodosia that she had cramps. She had period cramps.
But that could be... It could pregnancy be pregnancy cramps.
Yeah. Since she disappeared on December 12th, it's unlikely that she would have suspected she was pregnant, even if she was, because if she had her period on November 20th, like, yeah. So, like,
I think that's pretty good theory that she.
Yeah, totally. But also, if she wanted an abortion, why would she go to Pittsburgh? Because Pittsburgh is so far from New York. It's not Philadelphia, it's like 4 hours away. But also, George's family does live in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
That's so weird.
But what's odd about this abortion clinic is that John Keith, the family lawyer, had actually been to this clinic 3 years prior to the arrest while searching for Dorothy. He received a tip from someone that apparently saw Dorothy there. So he gets to this clinic and he asks Dr. Meredith if he can look around. And the doctor's like, no. So John threatens to get the police involved. And the doctor's like, okay, yeah, you sure, you can come in. And so this nurse, Lucy Orr, is there, and she's the one who says she saw Dorothy. So Lucy takes John and shows him where she saw Dorothy. Like, oh, I saw Dorothy in here, in this, like, room. So they go into the room, and there's a woman in there who Lucy says looks like Dorothy, but it's not her.
Mm.
So the nurse was like, yeah, I think Dorothy's here. And like John goes all the way out there, but like it's not Dorothy.
Well, she wouldn't have like moved in. Like she wouldn't be like living there permanently. So like he could have like missed her, or if she had passed away, then like she wouldn't be there anymore.
It could have been a botched abortion. So in April 1916, a man named Edward Glenorris, who was in Rhode Island State Prison for extortion, converted to Christianity and wanted to confess all of his sins. So he claimed that an acquaintance of his named Little Louie asked him to transport an unconscious woman from New Rochelle, New York, which is on Long Island, to a house in Weehawken, New Jersey. And so he was met by two other men, one named Doc and a finely dressed gentleman who many believed could be George, to transport this unconscious woman to New Jersey. And on the drive, Little Louie told Edward that the unconscious woman was Dorothy Arnold.
Oh, shit.
So little Louis called Edward the next day to tell him Dorothy died during a botched operation. And so he paid him $250 to bury her in the basement of a house.
Maybe she was getting a brain transplant to become a good writer.
Damn.
Wow.
Sick
burn.
Question,
real quick question.
Yes.
How long was it before they like started looking for her? Because when she went missing... Because she was like, why would she be buying a book in New York and then like go get her abortion and chocolates and then go get her abortion?
And looking for a dress. She bought the chocolate. She bought a book. There's records of that. There's no records of her buying the dress that she wanted to.
It's just weird. It seems like it would have been something where she woke up in the morning and went to go get it. Or like...
Yeah, that's why it doesn't really... Like, why would she be like, okay, I'm going to go out and then... She'd be like, okay, I'm gonna get chocolates, I'm gonna get a book, I'm gonna go get an abortion, I'm gonna get a dress, I'm gonna like...
Well, maybe it's for like recovery. Maybe like when she had like recovery time, maybe she wanted a book and like some chocolates to eat.
Yeah,
that's, I guess.
Her sister's debutante ball was that night.
And she wouldn't have missed that. She wouldn't have missed that.
Yeah, then that was a weird time to get an abortion then.
So anyway, this Edward Glenorse guy who was in prison, he said that this little Louis guy called him to pay him $250 to bury Dorothy Arnold in the basement of a house because they were going to give her an abortion and then, like, she died. And so the police went to a house that fit that description, and Edward stated that he buried Dorothy beneath the cement in the cellar, and police found an area of broken cement, but it was too small for a body. And the new owners said that the hole was simply access to a gas pipe. And so they digged down there, and all they saw were gas pipes, but no body. So that theory is kind of, eh. Or could it have been suicide? So everyone who saw Dorothy in the weeks before she disappeared claimed she was happy. But, like, obviously that doesn't really mean anything.
It doesn't.
When Mary and John, her mom and brother, went to Florence to confront George, George actually gave them a batch of letters that Dorothy had sent to George before her disappearance. The last one was mostly upbeat, except it had an odd passage in it. It said, well, it has come back. McClure's has turned me down. Failure stares me in the face. All I can see is a long road with no turning. Mother will always think an accident has happened. Like, what does that mean?
It sounds to me like she ran away. Like, mother will always think an accident has happened. Sounds
That's
like...
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
It has come back. McClure's turned me down. Failure stares me in the face. All I can see is a long road with no turning. Mother will always think an accident has happened.
Can I read really quickly? I have one of her rejection letters here. And it
oh,
gives
you found
an insight.
It.
Oh, no. Maria, is it going to be like Bigfoot?
No. It's not. It's not. Okay, so it says, we are sorry that we cannot accept Song of Spring.
Song of Spring. Yeah, well, now, there you go.
You have skill in the handling of light verse, but it seems to us that your treatment of the theme here is a little too rambling, and that it would have been more effective if more compactly treated. We return the poem to you regretfully and hope you will continue to let us see your work.
Okay.
That's not a horrible rejection. They gave like notes and said, keep sending stuff.
Yeah. But it seems like she did send something pretty long where they were like, oh my God, look how long this poem is.
It's as long as spring is. Yeah. That's, but imagine being like emotionally devastated because like Bustle or like Elite Daily or like Shouts and Murmurs won't like, not that those are all in the same category, but like won't publish you.
She probably, because she was like grew up rich and she was probably not used to being rejected.
Yeah.
I guess. So maybe, I don't know.
Well, this is what happened when nepotism doesn't work. People die. So
when nepotism goes wrong.
That's right. People disappear.
Yeah. So suicide is maybe an option. Or she was kidnapped.
Huh.
And her dad actually believes that she was kidnapped and murdered.
Huh.
Her dad was convinced. And he thinks she was attacked in Central Park and dumped in a reservoir. And he said two clues led him to believe this theory, but he never said what the clues were.
That's weird.
So he wanted police to look through the reservoir as well as Central Park Lake, but both bodies of water were frozen over and had been for days before Dorothy went missing. Like, people were ice skating on them. So her body couldn't have been thrown in unless they broke the ice.
Right.
To Central Park.
Could he have killed her? Because, like, he was like, I keep having to spend $2,000 a month on this woman who's, like, not getting married to any eligible bachelors. She doesn't have any career. She, like, wants to be a writer, and she's bad at it. And she's, like, complaining all the time. And
to, like, save, like, the family name. Like, people did crazy shit back then. Like, don't you tarnish our family name. Like, you're dating a 42-year-old. You're a failed writer.
Yeah, like we got to make Dorothy disappear.
It's not out of the question, I don't think.
Yeah, we got to send Dorothy to Oz, if you know what I mean.
Oh, surrender Dorothy.
Hey, maybe she did go to Oz.
Yeah. She followed the Central Park Road, if you know what I mean.
Follow the Central Park Road.
If you know what I mean.
Or she ran away. So there was no real evidence to support this other than that odd note that she wrote to her boyfriend. But, however, in February 1911, 2 months after she disappeared, a postcard arrived at the Arnold home, postmarked from New York. It said, I am safe, and was signed by Dorothy.
You're kidding.
The writing appeared to be Dorothy's, but her dad said that they just copied her writing. But who knows what Dorothy's writing looks like? It's not like it was George. Out there. Exactly.
George.
Exactly. So also her family was mean to her, so maybe she hated them and she ran away to join the circus?
I think she ran away. Like, I don't think it's that complicated. Like, I think she ran away, was like, I don't like this life. Like, I grew up rich. Some people like that, but I want to be, like, a starving artist. That's what my soul is.
I don't think so at all. I don't think... No one who gets chocolates on the daddy's account... No, is running away.
It was
away.
A half pound of chocolates, too.
Yeah, she...
I just don't see her as everything you've told me about, like, she went to Bryn Mawr, she wanted a Greenwich Village apartment on her daddy's dime, she got an allowance, all that stuff. She never did anything to break out of that.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, the first thing she does...
You're wrong. She hit her bottom, and she bounced.
So... she bounced. So the family spent thousands of dollars searching for her... And by Valentine's Day, they made it clear that they believe she was dead.
Hmm.
So on that day, this is 2 months after she went missing.
That'd be funny if McClure's, like, declared her a genius and published all her work.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
Song of
sad.
Spring becomes a bestseller. Best-selling
Song of Spring
poetry.
So the district attorney, Charles Whitman, offered his assistance to the Arnold family with their efforts to locate Dorothy, and Francis declined. The dad declined, was like, nah. And Mr. Whitman thought he misunderstood and explained that he intended to set any and all of his detectives on the case. And the dad said, please don't, please don't. Like, he begged him not to look for her. He's like, we are not looking for Dorothy any longer.
Wow.
And that was the end of the search.
What?
Yeah. And so her dad died in 1922. The mom died in 1928. And Francis left a will that said, I have made... no provision for my beloved daughter, Dorothy H.C. Arnold, as I'm satisfied that she is not alive. Like, he didn't even leave anything for her in his will, even if on the off chance she was alive. He's like, she's dead, she's gone, that's it.
He did it.
It's weird. And, like, why would her dad be like, oh, yeah, she was for sure kidnapped, she was murdered, her body was dumped, like, that's what I believe. Like, if you're a parent... wouldn't you, like, have some sort of hope, especially 2 months after she went missing?
Not if you felt that she was making a fool out of you. Not if he came from this old school view of my daughter should, you know, heed my advice, and I don't want to be paying for her anymore. She should have another man to pay for her.
Yeah.
But she's got this silly boyfriend that doesn't even, you know, do anything.
George Griscom.
Yeah.
Do you think, like, the perfume business is slang for, like, the mob?
Look it up.
I looked up glossary of mafia-related words. Nothing's coming up. But, like, maybe he was in the perfume business, and then, like, little Louie got sent Dorothy back to Oz when she was being problematic.
If you know what I'm saying.
If you know what I mean.
Or... she could have just been robbed and raped and murdered.
But where would they put her?
They put her, she swam with the fishes in the East River. You know? Or what could have happened is that someone robbed her and then realized who she was, or she's like, do you know who I am? My dad is so-and-so. And they're like, oh, fuck, well, I gotta kill you now.
Do you ever, like, think about what you would say if someone tried to kidnap you? I actually literally thought about this the other day where someone was driving past me really slow in a van. And I was like, if they kidnapped me, I would say, you made a big mistake. I'm married to the chief of police.
They'd be like, sure, lady.
Yeah. So you're not married? You?
I don't know.
So rude.
Don't they always tell you? They you're tell not married. You that you should talk about your kids.
Y'all fire. Oh, really?
You're supposed to say what?
Well, if you're kidnapped and someone's going to murder you, you start talking about like your kids and your family. Like, I have two young kids.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's supposed to like.
Or you just poop your pants.
Yeah. Oh, that won't be hard.
That's what you're supposed to do. You yell fire and you poop
well,
your pants.
I think
pants.
That's if you're going to be. I think that's if you're going to be raped, you're supposed to pee or poop your pants because then they don't want to do that anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't
well,
know
anything.
If that stops
they don't want
with them
you in their car.
You.
They don't want you in their car. If you pooped your pants.
I mean, if they're a
or you
killer.
Say, I'm already dead. You say, I'm already dead. Stop, stop, stop. You're making a big mistake. I'm already dead.
Play dead.
I can't be killed.
I would
yeah, play
dead.
As soon as I ever see any man walking toward me, I fall to the ground and
play
dead.
Like a possum. You're just like a possum.
We should start a self-defense podcast. This is some good tips. Yell fire and then shit your pants and then play dead.
Fire.
And then say, don't you know who I am? I'm married to the chief of police.
Then yell fire, shit your pants, play dead. Foolproof.
And then no one will kidnap you. You heard it here first. It's the web crawler's way.
Why don't you just say, I am the chief of police?
I am the chief of police.
Plot twist. I am.
You have no idea what you're doing. I'm the chief of police.
And then they believe you.
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry. I'm
oh,
sorry.
God. Okay. I'm so
sorry,
sorry,
ma'am.
I'm
so sorry, ma'am.
I'm sorry, madam police. I apologize. And they drop you back off to like your shitty apartment.
Yeah.
I'm in my snuggie walking my dog. So sorry, chief. Oh, that's a good laugh. All right. Well, if you have any insight into what happened to Dorothy,
you
please
know where
let
she
us
is.
Know. Or if you have any good self-defense tips, although I think ours are probably the best.
Yeah.
Melissa, good. Where could people reach us?
You can email us at chiefofpolice@gmail.com or webcrawlerspod@gmail.com. Yeah, have you ever been rejected from McClure's?
Yeah, let us know.
You have any good rejection letters?
Yeah. Oh, we would love to hear some good rejection letters.
Yeah.
Anyways, I am Allie, District Attorney Siegel.
I am Melissa, a Chief of Police Stud.
And I'm Maria, Mayor of the World, Blasucci.
Bye.
Bye.
Original.
Powered by Acast.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.